Behind every bit of mom wisdom is a story. A story of a real mom and real kids just trying to love each other well. Whether you're cozied up on the couch with a mug of coffee, pulling out of car line and heading to work, or out for a walk, you're welcome to join us as we share stories and laugh, learn, and grow together. It's the iMom Podcast. Welcome to this week's episode of the iMom Podcast. I'm Abby, and I'm joined by Susan, Megan, and Chloe. And this week's story is from me, and I have named it How Lucky We Are to Be Alive Right Now. So we live in Florida. I live about an hour from Orlando. And this past weekend, we went to Universal Studios. And every time, our routine is as soon as we get on the interstate, we put on the Hamilton soundtrack. Woohoo. And we make it usually to... Battle of Yorktown has already happened by the time we're getting there. There's always, it's almost without fail, we get to like a really like dramatic part in the show when the music is like really upbeat. And my husband's always like getting mad because he's like, I'm trying to find parking. And he like, you know, slams the music off. And I should know by now that we have to.
I think Hamilton is an interesting prelude to going to a theme park. Yes. Like trying to make the connection there.
Well, we just all really enjoy singing along. And it's just so much fun. And I listen to my boys sing in the back seat. And, you know, as we're driving along, especially when we hear that line, how lucky we are to be alive right now, I always, you know, it always just makes me really grateful for whatever moment I'm in right then, especially, you know, because I'm like, I'm with my kids in the car and we're all singing together and this is a really great moment. So then we get to the park on Sunday, and we park in the Cat in the Hat row 560. And I go, Cat in the Hat 560. And normally my husband will take a picture of the thing, but and my little one was like, take a picture. And I'm like, no, we got it. Cat in the Hat 560. And we walk, and you know, at Universal, it literally is the largest parking garage in the world.
Like, wow.
In fact, it is. You can see it from space, they say. So we go down two sets of escalators, a set of stairs. We're on like the conveyor belt, human conveyor belt, walking to the front of the park. And my husband goes, everybody have their mask? And I sighed.
Oh, no.
I was like, and I look at my little one, and that boy never remembers his mask. It doesn't matter where we are, what we're doing. If we're walking into church, no. I look at him. He gives me the face, of the oops face. And I'm like, we'll meet you guys at the park. Go ahead. So Graham and I turn around and go back to Cat in the Hat 560. And on the way, he's like coming up with a way that we can memorize it. I'm like, we got it. We know where we're parked.
Oh.
But it just made me think about, because we've been theme park goers for years. You know, we had Disney passes for a while and stuff. I never had to say, do you have a mask in years before? Mm-hmm. And I was excited about, you know, getting out of the toddler phase where we can just go to the park and walk in with just our bodies and not have to carry bags, not have to carry stuff. And now here we are again, needing to remember another thing. And it's like, COVID has changed so much. And I remember like back in early 2020 thinking, gosh, are masks going to be like the new shoes? Mm. Like, put your shoes on, get your mask. And now they are, you know, like, boys, do you have a mask? I don't have a clean one. This one's too tight. It's like how much things have changed. And so I used to work in radio. My husband still works in radio. And he sent me this email that another radio personality wrote talking about like how on-air personalities need to be talking to their listeners. And she was comparing the 2019 woman with the 2021 woman. And she said the 2019 woman had an optimistic outlook on life. Her kids were healthy. She could afford to go on vacations. Her kids were well-adjusted in planning their futures. Her relationship with health was healthy. Everything was working according to her perfectly organized Excel spreadsheet. Now, the 2021 or 2022 woman is recovering from trauma. She's worried about her kids' physical and mental health. She probably had to cut back on work because her kids were home. She's rebuilding her life. Her kids are struggling with social skills. Some of them who maybe were planning on going to college might not be going anymore because they can do it from home in their pajamas. Now this Excel spreadsheet of her hopes and dreams, it's been erased. And I thought, gosh, is it just me? Or does it feel to you guys like women had to take the reins during this time more than men did? Because COVID seemed to affect children with school and everything so much more than anything else we've experienced.
So it's a little bit different than Florida as far as COVID goes. And so we have a lot of shutdowns and you know, I was talking to some friends and they were like, you know, I think I handled it pretty well. Year one, that was 2020. Year two, it was like, oh, this is not fun, but like we can get through it. And now that it's 2022 and we're going on year three, I feel like I have a lot of friends and even myself included, it just feels like I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm halfway being a parent and halfway doing my job. And it doesn't feel good to do either half.
Well, so, I think also that in 2020, we were all in the same boat. Everybody was home, right, or everybody was kind of in the same reaction mode. Then in 2021, it kind of became a little bit more segmented and we were like, okay, you need to get back in the office or you need to do this. And so I'm going to have expectations. Now I feel like employers especially are maybe a little bit less forgiving of, a little less accommodating might be the better word, of kids' schedules and things like that, because everyone's all over the place. Some mm-hmm. schools do make the kids stay home when someone's been exposed. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think that there's that collective, we're all in this together right. kind of attitude.
I think because it is a financial burden for a company to always have employees saying,
sure,
they had a breakout at the school and their whole class has to stay home. And so then you've got people missing from meetings and things like that. So I get that. On the other hand, I feel where it's a burden for the moms is when that happens and you don't have backup babysitting mm-hmm. here, then you're stuck. Like Megan, you've said, who's going to stay home with the kids because school was canceled or something like that. I think the other problem with COVID is it's such a head game. I was talking to one of our employees today who happens to be out today because he has COVID. And he said, I really don't feel that bad. I don't feel great. He said, but it's messing with my head because it's COVID. Mm. And he said, because I know how dangerous it could be. Mm-hmm. And I said, although you'd be in a lot more pain, right, if you had strep throat. Oh, yeah. He said, totally. This is not anywhere near compared to strep throat, but it messes with you more because it's COVID.
Sure.
You know, so there's still that stress, even though they've gotten a lot of it under control and it's not as bad if you're vaccinated. There's still a lot of stress. Oh, it is COVID. And mm-hmm. then people are more stressed. Of mm-hmm. course, if you have strep, you don't go to work.
Yeah.
But if you have a cold and your child has a cold and it's clear, you used to send them to school.
Sure.
They didn't stay home until it was green. But now they might have COVID. So they have to stay home. No, that was the rule in school. If it's green or you got a fever, or you're throwing up, you have to stay home.
Yeah. So what aspect of it do you think is really the hardest for moms? I want to name a few things and you guys tell me what you think is harder than the other. What we've been talking about, that you have to be more flexible than ever with work and school. That to me, like just keeping track of what I'm supposed to do with the kid. Okay, so wait a minute. So someone that I know was exposed and I was around them for 20 minutes, so I need to look at the flow chart on my school website.
Logistics.
Right. Like that's been tough for me. Megan, he's been in preschool, right? For much of this?
He has. But every time someone in their class test positive, the whole class has to be out for 10 days. And they don't get it all at once.
That's
so
2 weeks.
Like
think of it.
Yeah. So every time a kid gets it, it's 2 weeks out, 2 weeks out. Now, unfortunately, James recently had it. So he's considered an exception. So he can go, but they just put that exception into place. It used to be like everyone was out regardless. Mm. And so that was tough. And I work from home and my husband doesn't. And so it affects me directly. Mm-hmm. And I think too now, there's a lot more women that are working.
Yeah.
And they might be the breadwinner. There's a lot of households where the woman is a breadwinner.
Well, think if Megan had two kids in preschool. Any class could get it. You know, and then you'd be constantly having a child on. Mm-hmm.
So what about this one? That we've had to pay attention. I think this is kind of a blessing, but we've had to really pay attention to our kids' needs and pay attention to how they're acting and whether they're acting out might be because of some built up tension or fear or, you know, what this is finally coming out. Mm. Like, for example, I know that my younger son, it was late summer of 2020. He had a little breakdown and he's like, everyone is making fun of my hair. And I was like, really? Like, is everybody making fun of your hair? But I think it was him finally just having his moment, just like we all did as adults. Yeah. And we would say to a girlfriend, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to lose it. Mm-hmm. But for a kid, that's not what he says. It's coming out for him by crying over his haircut, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that that's been something that's been hard for moms.
Well, and that's the whole world. We're all in this elevated level of stress.
Yeah.
And so how is it really creating fatigue after, you know, after like Megan said, 3 years, where you really are kind of at the end?
Yeah. So, and this one is one of those, like, this is really a bummer, but dealing with disappointment or letting go of some of the dreams that we've had, this is the one that, you know, it doesn't feel important in the grand scheme of things, especially for people who have lost a loved one, but I didn't get to see my child graduate, or I didn't get my 12th grader didn't go to prom, or, you know, like these things that you've always imagined happening don't happen.
Yeah.
Like, and that's kind of a mom, you know, from the day your kid's born, you have all these thoughts of things that are going to be in their future that you're going to get to see as their mom. And that's hard.
I'm dealing with the reality of it right now because we're expecting our second, and all the cool appointments and sonograms and things that my husband got to see with our first, he doesn't get to be there at all for our second. And like, we have our anatomy scan coming up, which if you've been pregnant, it's at 20 weeks, and it's really cool because you see like all four chambers of the heart, and you see the your baby really in depth, and he can't go to anything. And so he just feels like, you know, I'm not getting to do any of the things I got to do with our first and hear the heartbeat and everything. And it's sad for me too, because I'm kind of nervous, you know, when I go in, like, is something going to be wrong? And am I going to be by myself? And am I going to have to, like, hopefully they don't make a rule that he can't be there, you know, during delivery, which I know was a reality early on in COVID. So,
yeah, I imagine some women who have discovered iMom in the past couple of years who have like a toddler right now, you know, maybe he's James' age, that may have been the reality for
twice.
Them.
They have twice. I know, I have friends that have only had babies during COVID.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh my gosh.
But maybe their first child, they did all of that without dad there.
That would be awful.
It's sad.
Yeah.
It's really sad. Sad.
Plus
for
you
mom,
just need him. Just moral support.
Yeah. I do think that these, you know, on the bright side, these years have helped us decide what matters and what doesn't. It's also helped us take an inventory of habits that we want to keep.
Yes.
I think that that has been such a blessing, which I think we knew the whole time. Mm-hmm. This is really going to help us get back to basics, spend more time together as a family. You know, for some families, 4 o'clock on Sunday, this officially became spaghetti and movie night or whatever. That's probably a bad combination. You probably don't sit and eat spaghetti during a movie, but pizza and a movie night. And you go, you know what? Let's keep this going. We should do it. Or maybe you couldn't go to church anymore. And so you started watching a service online and praying together as a family in a different way. And you're like, okay, well, we're going back to church, but do we need to drop this other habit that we started? Mm-hmm. You know, this is something that has helped us grow stronger as a family and our family identity. I just think that before we rush to get back to normal, which I think we all want in many ways, we need to do an inventory of how we have been blessed over these past 2 years. So do you guys think that there is a particular stage of motherhood that it had it more difficult during this time than another? Like, I can think of pros and cons to each age. Being home with a toddler, oh my gosh, I would, you know, you need to get out, you need to go places, you need to go to the zoo or whatever. But also being home with a 14-year-old, they don't want to be around you, but also maybe being stuck together is something that, you know, otherwise you would not have that time together. They would want to be out of the house if they were 17, and now you have all this time together you wouldn't have otherwise had. So do you think that there's one age that is easier or harder to have done this with?
Gosh, I'm going to have to quote my sister because she's a high school teacher.
I thought you were going to say I'm going to have to quote myself.
No,
Susan Merrill once said in her wisdom.
No, I know it's always hard with a toddler, but toddler thing is physical. It's hard physically because you got to keep them busy. When I look at my sister's a high school teacher and just the trauma of keeping these kids studying at home? And if you were a working mom, how do you keep your eyes on a teenager? Yeah. You know, they're going to be on whatever screen they want right. to be on. And unless you stand over them, they're not going to do it. So if you have super motivated kids, oh, no problem. They probably got more done at home. But if you don't, and you are a teenage mom, I have to say it probably, and of course the teenage years are when it counts. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. if they're yeah. going to go to college. Yeah. And so you see all these things, they're not going back. They're not doing their homework. The teacher's calling, they didn't do their work. They didn't hand in their work. I think it was hard for these moms.
And I think with the preteen teenage years, there's been so much advancement with social media, TikTok becoming what it is now in the last 3 years. The metaverse, I mean, so many of these young kids, their social experiences are virtual, right? And that requires hopefully more monitoring and involvement from parents. So that's just this extra layer of technology you're having to learn and monitor and be involved in.
Well, and keeping just tabs on their mental health, and that, you know, we know that having friends on social media is not the same as having friends in person, and that it actually increases feelings of isolation when you feel like your only friends are virtual friends. Yeah. So they're not only physically isolated or quarantined, on top of that, now their entire social life is existing online.
Yeah. So what do you vote? Little ones or teens? I vote teens. I think it was harder.
I've got to throw my hat in for little ones.
Yeah, you throw your hat in for little ones.
I know. I will say, the pregnancy stage, the newborn stage, and the toddler stage is also feels long lasting, because you're like, if I get vaccinated, am I going to mess up my child the rest of their life? If I get them vaccinated, am I going to mess them up? It's just really hard to make health decisions for a newborn. And do I take them out? I have some friends that are really struggling postpartum because not only do you have normal postpartum, but you are terrified to take your child out of your newborn out of the house for fear that they're going to get COVID. And so then they're just, I have a friend right now that's been isolated and is going to be isolated after the baby is born, probably for a couple of months, because her anxiety is so bad about getting her newborn sick. And so I think, you know, the toddler newborn stage, I think everyone has a hard time. I mean, and that's why I think going on year three, everyone is just like,
exhausted. My sons are very low maintenance. They're neither of them have any neurodivergent issues or anything like that. But this age, this like late elementary, mid elementary age, I'm going to say it's probably the easiest of the three stages to deal with in this one, because they can entertain themselves. They can hang out with each other. They still want to watch the movies that I want to watch. You know, we can sit down. We've done so many movie nights. We've watched every movie.
And take out pizza, I'm sure.
And so this hasn't been as hard in that aspect. Now, what has been difficult with this age is the amount of time they've had to be on the computer, and that now all of a sudden I'm supposed to just let them do their work on there. And one of my sons was like, Mom, did you see? And he says some news story. He's like, he told me that Tom Brady retired. And I was like, because he saw it on his computer, because it has the internet. And so it's like all of a sudden, because of home learning, what that we had to do and everything, now he has access to all this stuff that I would not, like, we don't have a home computer like that. So that's been something I think a lot of parents were pushed into allowing their kids on devices that they wouldn't have already. Yeah. But that maybe has been the hardest part for our age and our stage that we're in.
So how do we give ourselves extra grace, because there's an automatic layer of stress that comes with being a mother, but then you have these social stresses of being friends with people who have different opinions than you about COVID, whether it's about vaccines, whether it's about the openings of restaurants, things like that. There are so many, feels like there's more to disagree on these days than ever before. So how do you separate all the little stresses we have and then just continue to give ourselves grace for just the avalanche of pressure that's coming at us?
Yeah. And I don't want to hear one more person tell me that kids are resilient and they'll be fine. So I'm like, yes, I know that, but that isn't, you know,
it's not good.
Me stop worrying about having to make my 2-year-old wear a mask.
Right. Right after we adopted our two from Russia, there was just a lot of chaos in our house. You know, you take two kids who've never really had parents, and one of them had never been in school. And anyway, five altogether. It was chaos. And a good friend of mine, Leslie Bateman, she works with us. She and her husband had adopted like a year or two before us. So teenagers also. We used to always talk and I'd feel like I was flying a jet through the trees, you know, like almost like in a video game, like chung, 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 chung. I was just dodging constantly. And we developed the saying, pull up, pull up. So when you're in that, you know, just constant exhausting panic mode of what's going to happen next, what do I have to deal with next, to envision yourself in a plane and literally pull up. Because when we're flying like that in dodging, you can't think, you just react. It's reactive living, and that's exhausting. Yeah. Whereas if you pull up to 30,000 feet, the air is clearer and you breathe and you try to look at things through God's eyes in the scheme of the world. Looking down on this, is this really a time for panic? Is this really that hard? Will God get me through it? So a lot of it is our emotional stress and how we look at it every day. Mm-hmm. And that's what we used to do, pull up, pull up.
I think that's perfect advice. I know that for me, what helped me pull up was this like core group of friends that I have, you know, being able to talk to other moms who were feeling the same anxieties that I'm feeling. And so it just made me feel not alone in it. Yeah. And I know that there's been, you can read stories on blogs, you can hear this podcast, but to actually talk to a friend who is in your same city, who's looking you in the face or hugging you, to hear her say, yep, I'm feeling the same way. It just, it's different. It feels different.
And change like this, and this has been a radical change, brings questions. And moms are going to be the first ones to ask the questions. Well, how are they going to get this done? How are we going to do this? And those questions breed panic too, because sometimes we just can't answer the questions. We have to wait. And it's hard when you have children.
Yeah. I saw some really good advice not too long ago about what to do when there's a lot of bad news or a lot of heavy news coming at you. And maybe you guys have heard this story about Andy Stanley, the pastor Andy Stanley, talking about a conversation that he had with this elderly man who had lived through polio, diphtheria, wars, like all these things. He was like, you know, 90, 100 years old, and he still seemed to really have this positive and wonderful outlook on life. And Andy said, you know, these past several months through COVID must have been really challenging for you. And the man's response was, no, I learned a long time ago not to see the world through the printed headlines. I see the world through the people that surround me, and I see the world with the realization that we love big, and so I write my own headlines. And I think that that is the really good advice for moms, that while you're looking at the news and all these scary things are happening on the news, within your home, what you, the headline that maybe you could print is toddler makes it to the potty for the first time, you know, or boys put laundry away. Yeah. Mom folds laundry before it gets wrinkled and has to be washed again. Or family gets gold star from the dentist. You know, all these little things that you said go to 30,000 feet, but you can also maybe zoom in and get real tight and say, all those things are happening out there, but look at the blessings that are in here. And I'm going to write these headlines that are going to fill me with gratitude.
That's so good.
The other thing is, Chloe, pray.
Yeah.
Sometimes 20 minutes, 15, 10, 5 minutes in prayer brings a whole lot of peace.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll leave you with this. I saw someone tweeted the other day that Wordle is the sourdough starter of Omicron. Right?
What? And then,
right.
And Wordle then, is a game, people, if you've never played it.
She's played it before. So someone tweeted, Wordle is a sourdough starter of Omicron. And then it was retweeted with the line, imagine your 2019 self trying to make sense of that tweet.
Oh my gosh.
You're like, what language are we speaking? Yeah. All right. So tell us how the pandemic has changed you as a mom. Hopefully it's been for the better in some ways. We want to hear about it. You can tell us via the link in the show notes. You're also going to find a link to our socials there and the articles that we talked about today. And we know, as we've just talked about, we know you have a lot going on. So subscribe to the podcast so that it can come to your feed automatically. And be sure to rate us on iTunes so that other moms can find us too. The iMom podcast is hosted and produced by Abby Watts, along with Susan Merrill, Megan Tigner, and Chloe Blumenthal. Edited by Isaiah Gunther.